The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network,
the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Head on over to bubblegenius.com and pick up their I Love You Guys powder for your nards. It's a zingy cooling talc powder with tea tree oil and Japanese peppermint oil, which is a little more mentholated feeling than regular peppermint, and also a dash of zinc oxide for extra absorbency. Guys everywhere seem to love it. Only $10 at bubblegenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at bubblegenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
We have white people problems in America. That's what we have. White people problems. You know what that is? That's where your life is amazing, so you just make shit up to be upset about. People in other countries have real problems, like, oh shit, they're cutting off all our heads today. Things like that. Here we make shit up to be upset about. Like, how come I have to choose a language on the ATM machine? It's bullshit. I shouldn't have to do that. I'm American. God, the shit we bitch about. I called American Airlines and I got a Pakistani lady. And she was in Pakistan. I'll tell you what, though. When I call American Airlines and I get the Pakistani lady, I hang up and I call again. And it's not because I don't like her, and it's not because she doesn't speak English, because she speaks way better than I do. She's just a better person. It's so clear. And I know, here's why I don't like talking to her, because I know she doesn't give a shit about me and my white people problems. I want to talk to the lady from Texas who's like, well, how can I help you? That's the lady I want. I just know that, hello, American, oh, you don't care. There's no way. Why would you? I'm in my underwear. Hi, I have a layover in Dallas that's really long. And I was wondering if... She's like, oh, really? I haven't had a clean glass of water in 10 years, okay? Two of my kids died this morning. I still came to work, you fat shit. I can hear your fat over the phone. Why don't you hang up and kill yourself?
Making your day a little brighter is quite enough for us.
Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Scum! It is Tuesday, August 25, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska, that is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Yep.
Hi! We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap in the world. Also brought to you by The Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Or you can just get free legal advice at TheBowenLawGroup.com/Bob and Chez. For example, if you're getting sued by Chuck C. Johnson or you're planning to countersue Chuck C. Johnson, just go to TheBowenLawGroup.com/Bob and Chez and Bo will help you out with Chuck C. Johnson. All right, we've got a huge show today. As both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders says, huge! Before we bring in our guest for the first segment here, I just want to say I am so glad that I stopped watching CNBC, like, years ago. Because, let's just put it this way. If you want to know what it's like to be on cocaine... Turn on CNBC right now. It just looks like being on cocaine, but not as fun. It's like a living nightmare watching them freaking out about the stock market. I wonder how many times they've said the words "dead cat bounce." That's a phrase I learned watching CNBC.
Wow.
Dead cat bounce. Yeah. I have no idea what it is, but it's something. Something to do with the stock market.
You sure about that? That could just be Jim Cramer's launch.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because I was smart with my investing. I got into the stock market right before the recession.
Oh, good for you.
So yeah, this is a really good time to get invested, dump all my money into the stock market. Yeah, smart. I'm a smart investor. And then, of course, it was just a panic attack for the subsequent, like, 7-8 months that I stayed in the stock market as it completely tanked. But evidently, the stock market's doing much better today, from what I understand. The little bar graph is going up a little bit. And that means that the spazzy white guys in Lower Manhattan might be a little less spazzy. But there's a whole thing where you didn't lose any money when the stock market dropped yesterday if you didn't sell anything. But if you sold stuff, then you're going to lose money. That's just the way it works. So just hang in there. It'll be back. That's my little inspirational speech to anyone who's in the stock market. Hang in there. And then I'll put, as an avatar for the show, be like a kitten hanging from a tree limb. All right, let's bring in our guest today, as we like to have on every once in a while. It's Charles Johnson from Little Green Football. Charles.
Hey there.
Welcome to the show today. And we actually have a very specific reason to have you on, because once again, popping up in the news is Chuck C. Johnson.
My evil namesake.
Right. The guy who is besmirching your name every time he gets in the news because everyone thinks it's you, but it's not you.
He's my heinous doppelganger.
So what's going on here? It all has to do with his there's some lawsuit stuff, his lawsuit against Gawker and then Gawker's countersuing. But the thing that struck me as really something that's particularly horrendous is this. You tweeted it out, this notice from gotnews.com. It says, gotnews.com will be outing all of the congressional staffers on the Ashley Madison leak who use their taxpayer-funded computers unless they resign this week. We will also be contacting any wives or girlfriends we can discover.
I'm sorry, wait a second. Who's doing that?
Chuck C. Johnson is doing
that. No, but what was that thing you just mentioned? What was his organization?
Got News.
Got News? Well, I'm sorry, what's that?
Yeah, gotnews.com, which...
Wow, that's a big entity there.
Charles, has he actually posted anything recently on gotnews.com? I mean, is there anything going on there?
He's basically scouring through the Ashley Madison databases right now.
Oh, God.
That's what he's doing, looking for names that he recognizes. And what he doesn't seem to realize is that Ashley Madison doesn't even verify those names. They didn't do email verification, nothing.
No.
I mean, you can register an account with absolutely no verification, so... You know, I mean, anybody's name could be in there. And in fact, there have been several people now who've turned up in the list and never registered. So, you know, it's not, you know, once again, he's doing something that's really basically nothing.
Yeah, well, he's destroying more lives without a whole lot of evidence again.
Trying to, yeah. You know, his threat to the congressional staffers is pretty funny because, you know, anyone who actually resigned, you know, based on his word, they'd be admitting that they were that they registered in the Ashley Madison database. So
right, but I mean, the other thing is too. I mean, how can he possibly prove that they're using taxpayer-funded computers?
Well, of course he can't. What he does is he traces the IP address, and if it traces to some kind of government organization, he assumes that it's them. But then, you know, I mean, these are offices. There are people in offices.
Yeah.
And people play pranks, you know. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why someone's name might end up in that database, even if they didn't put it in themselves.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, actually, later in the show, we're going to be talking about how, for once in a long, long time, maybe once in forever, Chez and I actually agree with Glenn Greenwald about something.
Oh, my God. It's like breaking news.
Yeah, but there's still so much hypocrisy in that.
Yes, of course there is. But so Chuck C. Johnson's going after congressional staffers. Also, Gawker filed its anti-slap motion against Chuck C. Johnson. Now, what's that all about?
Well, they actually filed two motions, anti-slap motion and a motion to dismiss. Mm-hmm. Anti-slap, SLAP stands for S-L-A-P-P. It means strategic lawsuit against public participation. And California has what are called anti-slap statutes, mm-hmm. which are intended to prevent people from filing these kinds of, basically lawsuits to punish people who criticize them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So that's good that California's got that lined up. But there's not anything like that in Missouri, right? Where are they?
Right. Well, the motion that they filed is asking the judge to allow the anti-slap case to proceed under California law because they've moved it to a federal court now. I think, you know, there's two ways it might go. He might, the judge might end up transferring it to California, in which case Chuck is really screwed.
Yeah.
Or because California's anti-slap statutes are like, they're like the King Kong of anti-slap statutes.
Right. And his lawyer in Missouri can't represent him in California.
Correct. I don't think so. I think he's only registered with the bar in Missouri, which is another reason why he probably filed it there. But they point out in their motion that his main reason for filing in Missouri was pretty obviously to avoid having to deal with the California anti-slap statutes.
Right. And you also – you posted on Little Green Footballs the anti-slap motion that's actually really funny.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I just scanned down on the one paragraph. Plaintiff's controversial style of journalism. It says that Chuck C. Johnson is a well-known internet celebrity and public figure, and Got News is likewise, Chez, well-known as the principal organ for publishing his views. Johnson's website.
I'm going to release the information on the mail order bride website where Chuck got his wife if he doesn't deport her immediately.
Oh, no, we're going to get sued now.
Well, yeah, the reason why they brought that up, by the way, is because what they're trying to establish is that Chuck is a public figure.
Right.
And as a public figure, he's you know, there's a much higher bar for him to prove defamation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is so great. It reads here in the motion. Johnson's website illustrates that he has a history of publishing or threatening to publish personal information about individuals and stories he criticizes or even those covering them. And he has attracted widespread notoriety and attention by doing so. For example, Johnson accused a New York Times reporter of posing for Playgirl, which he had to retract because his source turned out to be an April Fool's genre college satirical newspaper.
Sad trombone.
Sad trombone. He contributed to a now widely discredited story accusing Senator Robert Menendez of paying prostitutes in the Dominican Republic. Taylor, right.
Now, that's the one today. He's claiming that he's been vindicated on that.
Oh God!
But he really hasn't been.
Right.
Because what happened was the DOJ came out with a statement saying that they're not ready to give up on those allegations yet because they've corroborated some witnesses' allegations. Now Chuck is saying that they've corroborated evidence, but that's not true at all. What they did is they have several people.
Yeah.
Who claimed to have seen Menendez at a party at which prostitutes were also present. That's as far as it goes at this point.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? It may eventually turn out to be true, but, you know, and I'm certainly no big defender of Menendez, but, at this point, it's not vindication at all.
The plaintiff's provocative journalism has in turn attracted an avalanche of criticism, both with respect to the quality of his reporting and his character, long before the first Gawker piece was published. For example, in August 2014, the Clarion Ledger described Johnson as a, quote, cowardly little man who makes hollow threats, baseless claims, and wild accusations, and criticized him for a series of tweets, judging James Foley, the American journalist held captive for nearly 2 years, then beheaded by ISIS. Classy, classy guy. Right.
Oh yeah, he's Mr. Class, definitely.
I don't remember him criticizing James Foley. He actually did that.
Oh yeah, he said James Foley was he converted to Islam and he's a traitor and you know he was glad he was dead and all this kind of stuff. You know, he's just a wonderful guy.
Yeah. God, what a terrible.
Oh, I love. They also mentioned that he claimed on his now deactivated Twitter account that President Obama was gay and offered money for photos of Senator Thad Cochran's wife in her nursing home bed.
Oh my God.
I mean, they just go down the list of all the horrible stuff he's done. It's really something. I mean, they even cover the pooping on the floor and the bestiality.
Yeah. Oh my God. Says here, I'm trying to find the pooping on the floor part because if those of you who are just joining us and never have heard of Chuck C. Johnson, first of all, where the hell have you been? Second of all, Chuck C. Johnson is rumored to have pooped on the floor of his college dorm room, and that's been widely circulated. And every time you mention it, he just loves it.
And by the way, he's the one who actually brought that up in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
He mentioned it to Gawker's reporter, J.K. Trotter, without being asked.
God.
By the way, if you heard those things about me pooping on the floor, they're totally untrue.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, that's the whole point of this. Like, filing a lawsuit to dispel the rumor that he pooped on the floor is actually just putting it into the public record that there's a rumor that he pooped on the floor.
Yeah, he may be asked to depose on that, as a matter of fact, which would really be hilarious.
It would be a beautiful thing.
Oh, my God, yes. I want a recording of that. That'll be a lot of fun to listen to. While plaintiff's livelihood depends on the robust protection that the First Amendment provides to express opinions about the targets of their commentary, Johnson is far less inclined to respect freedom of speech when critical opinions or rhetorical insults are directed at him. Thus, Johnson has repeatedly and publicly threatened to sue his critics for defamation. So, yeah, I mean, I love this, how they're just calling out the flagrant hypocrisy of the fact that he's missed the First Amendment.
It really is great.
And I can't imagine any judge taking this, any of this, seriously whatsoever. This is going to get dismissed easily.
Yeah, I think Gawker's attorneys are hoping that it will get transferred to California so they can pursue this anti-slap case.
Right.
Because if it's dismissed, then the anti-slap thing just dies at that point.
Then Chuck Johnson will have to get a lawyer in California, and that's going to cost him some money. But given the way the far right has been functioning lately, that's only, you know, a Kickstarter away from being financed, right?
Well, I don't know. Chuck has not exactly been making a lot of friends even on the right wing lately with some of the ways he's been criticizing some of their public figures like Dana Loesch and the woman on Twitter that he accused of adultery. And he also went after Alan West. You know, I mean, he's basically been just kind of a loose cannon, firing in all directions.
So that's it. So then it's entirely possible that he's just going to get hung out to dry.
The other thing, which is, they kind of go low-key with this in their motion, but they're also asking for legal fees and court costs, which if you look at these motions, there were a lot of hours spent on these.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And these are not cheap law firms. I looked them up. They're top-flight law firms.
You're talking about Gawker's legal representation?
Gawker's firms, yeah. They're seriously expensive law firms.
Oh, I love it. I love that.
So Chuck could be on the hook for a whole lot of money.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Charles. Really, really appreciate you visiting the show. And we're going to keep following littlegreenfootballs.com for all the best in Chuck C. Johnson Schadenfreude.
All right. My pleasure.
All right. Take care, my friend. We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue with more show right after this.
Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
40th anniversary of this album. Because I've been listening to it today, and God damn, it's a good album. There is not a single bad note in that entire Born to Run album.
It is a good record.
40 fucking years old. That's astonishing.
Yeah.
And you know, it's all really timeless. I mean, I don't think you're going to hear many songs that are of the length of Jungle Land, for example, being released today. But it sounds like something that could just know, as
Tame,
easily.
Tame Impala's new single is like nine minutes long.
Oh, is it really? Is that? Yep. I'm not familiar with that band. Are they like? Is that a rock group?
I don't know what in the hell they are. Yeah. Rock, dance, alt. You know,
just a mixture of everything.
Somewhere in between. Yeah, they're an alt band.
All right. So, well, good. So,
but it's
making
a great album. It's a phenomenal album. And yeah, it perfectly sort of describes both its time and unfortunately ours.
Yeah.
Sort of the pissy decline of the American dream.
Did we do a Chez's new music countdown for July?
We did not.
We didn't?
This week.
No, how the hell did we not do? I guess we, yeah, because there was a whole where I was away for a while there.
Yeah. We'll do it this week.
Yeah, we'll have to do it this week. Yeah. Definitely. Cool. Definitely for Friday on the after party. Sounds good. All right. So moving along here. We've got some election news coming up later on, which is mainly just Trump news. It's all Trump all the time in our election news anymore. But before we get to that, as we hinted in the previous segment, Glenn Greenwald wrote a post that I actually agree with. Now, it all has to do with the Ashley Madison hack and Greenwald discussing how we've sort of taken on this puritanical glee regarding all the people who were listed on the Ashley Madison database. And of course, that is pretty much in line with what we were saying last week on the show. But yeah, of course,
I agree. I agree with him completely on that. And that's about where it ends.
Yeah, because he goes off on hackers after having vigorously defended hackers. In fact, we brought up Glenn Greenwald last week with regards to his views on, you know, quote unquote, young online activists.
Young online activists. Yep.
Right. Right. Now, he didn't go so far as to say in this piece for The Intercept that any sort of intelligence agency should be monitoring hackers. He did. Obviously, he's not going to write that. But the fact that he was he was really harsh on the hackers themselves, in addition to the reaction to the hack.
Yeah.
Which
I agree with completely.
Yeah. I mean, it's impossible to disagree with that. He compared it to the Scarlet Letter. He said the moral premise of that ritual, the ritual of the punishment of someone who's an adulterer, its animating righteousness is by no means an obsolete relic of the puritanical era. Such a effing Greenwald sentence. The moral premise of that ritual, its animating righteousness, is by no means an obsolete relic of the puritanical era. It is as vibrant as ever, Greenwald writes. Busybodies sitting in judgment of and righteously condemning the private sexual acts of other adults remains one of the most self-satisfying and entertaining and thus most popular public spectacles. It simultaneously uplifts the moral judges, distracts them from their own behavior, and titillates, period. And just see how...
It titillates.
It titillates. Yeah, exactly.
Just that.
Yeah. It's just, I thought there was something more to that. Like,
there should be, it does. It sounds like there should be something much more to that.
Uplifts moral judges, distracts them from their own behaviors, and titillates.
Titillates wildly. It's like the old Smith song, Oscillate
right.
Wildly.
I mean, you realize what we're doing. We're actually adding words to a Greenwald article,
you know,
which is,
you know,
already...
we should tell him this, and maybe he'll do an update.
That's right. Can you finish that sentence about titillates, please? Titillates.
Update 27. Titillates. Titillates and titillates.
Anonymous hackers yesterday published a massive trove of data containing... God, who would ever do that? Publish a trove of data online. There's a little bit of hypocrisy for you. Containing private information. Who would do that either? Oh, my God. He's so outraged at, you know, publishing a
this
massive
trove
of data.
This is the guy that hangs with Weave.
Hangs with Weave, right? His best friends with Edward Snowden, who's given him the most massive trove of data in the history of data troves. Mm-hmm. The data was hacked from the website Ashley Madison, of course, which promotes itself as a pro-infidelity venue where married people can find sexual partners and, quote-unquote, have an affair. This is an interesting Greenwald description of Ashley Madison. It's like, basically, people go to Ashley Madison to and then he describes
to find somebody to cheat with.
Right.
Which, by the way, I think is f***ing scummy.
Yeah.
I do. I've always thought. But it doesn't mean you deserve to be outed for. It doesn't mean you deserve to have your private information made public.
That's right. So, but he describes it this way. The data was hacked from a website, Ashley Madison, which promotes itself as a pro-infidelity venue where married people can find sexual partners and, quote-unquote, have an affair. The data published by the hackers includes the names, physical and email addresses, and credit card purchases.
I'm going to open a bar called Ashley Madison. And I think the idea of it should be pretty much obvious. So that's the easiest way to cheat. Just go to work. Right. I'm going to whatever company I'm going to rename. I have like this really tiny boutique media company. Yep, uh-huh. Believe it or not, I am going to rename it Ashley Madison. Unfortunately, I can't go to work and meet people to have sex with because I...
You work from home.
Me. I have tried, and trust me, I pause many times during the day while I'm working at my company to have sex with myself.
You know, you could actually set up a little, like a little kiosk at the pool, right? At your apartment complex. Right, there's a pool there, right?
Have sex with me.
Yeah. You could set up like a Peanuts thing. Like a Charlie Brown goes up and...
Every place I've ever worked in television news, every place has been like working at a fucking club. It's been great. It's like, sure. You know what? You want to get laid? It's, oh my God, just come to work.
Greenwald continues here that the cheating scoundrels of Ashley Madison got what they deserved was a widespread sentiment yesterday. Despite how common both infidelity and online pornography are, tweets expressing moralistic glee were legion. This is like, you know what, if you were playing the Glenn Greenwald drinking game, mm-hmm. you'd be hammered after those couple of sentences.
Oh, I know.
Scoundrels. Scoundrels.
That is a good word, scoundrels.
Moralistic glee.
They're pernicious jism.
Holy crap. You know what, that might be the name of the show.
That's the name of the show.
The name of the show. Is jism permissible? Is that, I don't know what, do we have to censor jism?
Sure. J-I-S-M. Yeah.
Will we be able to keep our clean status on iTunes if we use in the title?
I don't know. I think so.
Websites were created to enable easy searches of the hacked data by email address. An Australian radio station offered to tell listeners on the air if their spouse's name appeared in the database and inform one horrified woman caller that her husband's name did. The Washington Post actually promoted
I totally searched the database. I'm looking for people to blackmail. I'm not stupid. There's money in that.
Yeah, this is really long. I thought it was only half as long as it was because it's suddenly an ad comes up.
Oh, what? The piece by Greenwald? Are you kidding me? Did you? How long has it been since you've read Greenwald?
It's been months. Months and months and months.
I know, and it's all, dude, he writes Bibles.
God.
And he's already got, all I saw at the very top of that article was update below, of course.
Yeah, there is an update. In response to a moralizing commenter, an Ashley Madison user tells his or her story in the comment section, and it's well worth reading, was the update. So that's it. Glenn Greenwald actually, you know, kind of making some sense, even though he's an insufferable snob the way he does it.
He is. Exactly. And again, every single thing he says is just bold-faced hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, we're going to take one more break and come back with more show right after this. Hello, Bob here. Last year, I discovered Tweaked Audio for the greatest earbuds ever, and I can honestly say I'm totally spoiled now. I can't imagine using anything else. They're quite literally the finest earbuds available. Go now to our website, bobseska.com, and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. Tweaked Audio is about comfort and quality for every ear in a variety of colors, including natural wood grain. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise, and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. You'll like the prices, too. And if you use the code BANDC, that's BANDC, at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds, warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at bobseska.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Is it Bob and Chez, not Bob and... I'm just making that perfectly clear. The second half of the show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon.com, enter that site using our link. It takes it right to the front page of Amazon.com. You can find the link just below the logo at BobSeska.com. It's really easy to do. You save money at Amazon.com. You go shopping like normal, but everything you buy, we get a small commission from. And I want to be abundantly clear about this. Here's a very specific detail about the whole Amazon.com link that we have. I can see all of the purchases, but there's no names associated with any of it. I just want to be perfectly clear that I don't know what you're buying. And the other thing is, I don't care what you're buying. So it does. I mean, right. I get to see all of the cool stuff that people are buying at Amazon.com, but there's absolutely no, you know, personal identifiable information that's associated with those purchases. Not a single thing. No IP addresses, no email addresses. So I'm not going to conduct my own you know, Ashley Madison leak of all the people who actually are nice enough to use our Amazon link and go shopping for, you know, whatever it is they're shopping for. I saw some computer stuff this week. That's what I like to see, actually, because the computer stuff is the most expensive, you know, items that you can buy. Some of the most expensive items you can buy at Amazon.com. And so that shoots the commission from about 3 cents to about 10 cents, which I really do appreciate that. Right. Okay, so moving along, every week we have lots and lots of election news. Okay. By the way, I got to give credit where credit is due. I posted I made a meme. I've been making memes for the show lately. I made a meme, I think it was yesterday, where I took that picture of Donald Trump and with that ecstatic woman, that woman with like the big, go with a smile, Joker grin on her face, holding her baby out.
Right.
I took that picture and grabbed a quote that, a caption that actually Bill Corbett from Mystery Science Theater wrote on his Facebook wall. I gave him full credit, of course. But it was, please eat my baby, God of anger. It's like a woman saying, please eat my baby, God of anger. That effing thing, that meme, I'm bringing it up now on the Bob and Chez Show Facebook page.
Well, the memes of those pictures, the photoshops of those pictures have been great. There's one that was done that was absolutely f***ing masterful.
Yeah.
Where every single – the guy took the woman's crazy face and put it on every single person there, including the baby.
And the baby's the only reasonable-looking one in the entire picture. The baby's got like this look like, what the F is this guy? This giant orange man touching my face. Get away from me, orange man. Right. But this thing right now on the Bob and Chez Show Facebook page, that's facebook.com/Bob and Chez, the reach so far, 251,000 people reached with this meme.
Right.
15,000 post clicks, 2,282 shares on that. It's gone absolutely nuts. So, just to make it perfectly clear, I want to thank Bill Corbett for actually writing the text and providing it for the meme that I wrote and put on our Bob and Chez Show page. I also put it on my own personal Facebook page. But it's going nuts because now we have memes. Anyway, so speaking of Trump, Lindsey Graham had some very choice words for Donald Trump. Lindsey Graham likes shooting ski.
I like shooting ski.
And Lindsey Graham's going to need all of the
strength
he can muster, because Lindsey Graham said the other day that he wants to beat Trump's brains out.
Wow.
He said, come on down to South Carolina and I'll beat your brains out with all of my
strength.
That's true. He actually said this. Here's Lindsey Graham letting Trump have it.
There's 25% of our party that probably thinks Obama was born in Kenya, or at least wants to believe that. There's 25% of our party wants him to be a Muslim because they hate him so much. So,
I think it's way more than that. Isn't it something like 45% of Republicans don't think that Obama was born in the United States?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I think it's closer to 45, not 25, but okay, all right.
So there's a dark side of politics that Mr. Trump's appealing to. Demagoguing immigrants, he's not the first guy to do this,
right?
And he won't be the last, and there's always a market for it, but it's not sustainable. It will ruin our party. If he becomes the nominee, we'll get killed.
Well, and of course, he's exactly right. I mean, Lindsey Graham is exactly right in everything you said here. Of course, Lindsey Graham believes that we should go and have more, you know, Americans killed, more Iraqis killed by reengaging in the Iraq war.
Right.
So God only knows where that puts him morally. But yeah, I mean, with regards to Trump, he's exactly right. If Trump is the nominee, and we've got some polling data here coming up here in a second, if he's the nominee, it is going to be landslide city for whoever the Democratic nominee happens to be. Whether it's Clinton, Sanders, Biden now, for God's sake. Biden's going to get killed, by the way. Biden gets into this race. he's going to get, I mean, it's going to be embarrassing. I'm even surprised that he's planning to do it.
Is he going to get in?
I mean, just everything I've seen, I mean, rumor-wise, it's like, it looks like he's going to...
I had heard that his wife said he wasn't. Not that, I mean, you know.
I read that she said, I mean, didn't she say that she's not into the idea, but that they've got everything rolling behind the scenes to...
I don't know.
In preparation for him to get in.
It's a terrible idea. They cannot do this.
Yeah.
It's just, seriously, Hillary is not as weak as people think she is.
No, absolutely not.
Don't take whatever the hell the word is that I'm looking for. That, of course, is completely escaping me because all words do these days off of Hillary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think Hillary is having some trouble in New Hampshire, but it's only because Bernie Sanders is from a neighboring state.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of predictable. But I don't think, I mean, she's in trouble when it comes to what Mark Halperin and Joe Scarborough think of her.
Right.
But they're not, fortunately, they're not involved in the Iowa caucus or any of the primaries or, frankly, in anything relevant whatsoever anywhere.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, too bad. But let's continue here with Lindsey Graham. We still haven't gotten to the, I'm going to beat his brains out.
I mean, you may say it's not sustainable, but it surely has sustained. Just look at the latest poll, this one coming out from Monmouth University. Mm-hmm. I know you saw this one. Sure. He not only has a sizable lead, we'll throw it up there, 30%. Mm-hmm. It's not just a lead anywhere. It's in South Carolina. Yeah, it's in your home state.
I won 56% of my primary against six opponents. There's 30% of my primary electorate that believes that Obama's a Muslim, that he was born in Kenya, and that would deport everybody. They're frustrated. I'm just saying that the policies that Mr. Trump is proposing are demagoguery. His approach to describing illegal immigrants or hurting us with Hispanics, the way he attacks women is going to be a death blow.
The way he attacks women's.
Yep.
Trump is attacking women's.
Yes.
Go to the future of our party. Come to South Carolina, and I'll beat his brains out.
Wow. Boy, I bet he will.
Come to South Carolina and beat his brains out.
I'll beat your brains out.
Lindsey Graham perhaps overcompensating a little bit. I'll give him such a smack.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's Lindsey Graham. You know, I mentioned polling data when we come back from a break. This is... I don't know why anyone's saying that, well, I don't know if Trump can win a primary. I mean, he may not win a damn thing. Well, that's not what the polling says. It really doesn't. And I love every second of this. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, we're going to take a break. Come back with that new polling data right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Yes, it is. This song, this is also from Born to Run. This is Night. It's like, instead of calling it Night, could you just call it Bruce Springsteen song?
Yes.
It's got like everything.
It does have this. It is it's unmistakably Springsteen.
Yeah.
So great. All right. So moving along here with the show. We're in the final segment of the show this week for Tuesday. Okay. So I was talking about Trump's polling numbers, and I just, you know, this is nothing that's like breaking news necessarily, but I decided, you know, I was hearing a lot of pundits and reading online and seeing lots of things about, well, you know, I mean, Trump might be winning nationally, but how is he going to do in the primaries and the caucuses? Well, I went and looked it up. I'm at Real Clear Politics. Start with Iowa. Trump right now in Iowa is up 7.6% over second place Ben Carson, who's got no chance in the rest of the election. In New Hampshire, Trump is up 16.3% over second place John Kasich, believe it or not. Third place is Bush. Fourth place is Walker. Fifth place, Ben Carson. Ben Carson. But that's, I mean, New Hampshire, 16.3%. There is no effing way unless there's some sort of massive implosion. And I can't imagine that happening because nothing he says is at all affecting him. In fact, it's getting better and better for Trump.
That's the thing. He's gaffe-proof because his entire campaign is a gaffe. Yeah. His entire campaign would be disastrous for anybody but him.
Right. In Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, Trump is up 19.7% over second place Ben Carson. It's Trump. This is the RCP average. Trump is at 31.7% in South Carolina. Ben Carson, 12 effing percent. Jeb Bush is at 11.3%. So, by the way, Lindsey Graham, 5.3%.
Strength.
5.3%. God, in his own home state. And those are really, I mean, that's all that they're tracking right now, because we're still kind of early to be talking about South Carolina. But the fact of the matter is that it's not that far away. I mean, right. What is the Iowa caucus is September, October, 4 months away? 4 months away from the Iowa caucus. Holy crap. And again, Trump leading by 7% over Dr. Ben Carson.
I mean, again, anything can happen. It can.
Of course.
And I always have to remind myself that panicking is not necessarily a great idea, considering the fact that we live in an age where whoever gets the narrative, whoever has the narrative right around the time of Election Day, that's the person who wins. The thing is, Trump will likely always keep the narrative.
Yeah.
Because Trump is crazy.
Yeah, he is.
And he'll say anything. And the media eats that up.
Yeah, and of course, they're eating up this whole rivalry now that Trump reinvigorated against Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal right now.
Now you get a battle between Roger Ailes and Donald Trump.
Exactly. You wrote a post about this, and you compiled all of Trump's tweets about Megyn Kelly. It just seems like he's...
And I mean, the issue is that you can't, you know, for a little while there, it looked like Trump and Ailes were going to have sort of a non-aggression treaty.
Yeah.
But you can't do that with him because Megyn Kelly made the mistake of insulting him. And since Trump is a thin-skinned little baby, he has to keep responding and he's going to keep doing it. He will keep insulting her. And nothing that Ailes tells him to do is going to stop. And, you know, Ailes put out a thing today where he says he wants an apology, wants an official apology, which, as I wrote about yesterday, he kind of had to do because in the dick swinging competition, he can't let it be known that Trump owns Fox News.
Right.
And that Trump is more powerful than Ailes and more powerful than Fox News. The thing is, though, so he wants an apology from Trump. Trump's not going to give him an apology.
No.
Because if Trump gives him an apology, that's the end of Trump. The reason why Trump is popular is that he never backs down. He never says he's sorry. And if Trump says he's sorry, that's it. It's over.
Well, the other thing is that I don't doubt for a second that Roger Ailes is playing this for ratings. I mean, that's what this is all about, really. Because he knows, because they have to know. They have to all know. Megyn Kelly has to know that Fox News' audience is Trump's audience.
Yeah,
they're the same people.
But I've always, no matter how much, no matter how much Megyn Kelly may owe Fox News for giving her this position, putting her in this position, and backing her for as long as they did, Kelly's got to be pissed because basically Roger Ailes is hanging her in front of Trump like a pinata, and he's siding with Trump over Megyn Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Up until, of course, today.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, like, media, I put up this really, really great sort of comparison of you know, some people, some Fox personalities really went after Trump last night on Twitter and have gone after him on the air and said that, you know, it's unacceptable that he's attacking Megyn Kelly for doing her job and she's a colleague and we're not going to tolerate that. But it's funny the people who have hedged on that. People like Sean Hannity, of course, who has to remain on the side of Trump. So his tweeted response about this latest attack on Kelly was, you know, Donald Trump's my friend and he's a great guy, like just so much hedging. But I wish that he would be using the bully pulpit, or I wish he would be talking about important things instead of attacking Megyn Kelly, but he's a great guy. If you feel like you really need to, Donald, you know, if you have to, if there's a reason that we don't know why you're doing this, then you just keep right on doing it. It's okay.
Yeah, and Hannity was even more pandering or
that's
equivocating.
What I mean. Yeah, that's the beauty of this, is that he's just they're just pandering messes to this fucking demagogue.
Yeah, exactly. Now here's Roger Ailes' statement with regards to Trump reigniting the attacks on Megyn Kelly, just out of the blue. Because, I mean, it was almost like he was drunk tweeting all that stuff.
Yeah.
Ailes writes, Donald Trump's surprised and unprovoked attack on Megyn Kelly during her show last night is an unacceptable, is as unacceptable as it is disturbing. Megyn Kelly represents the very best of American journalism, and all of us at Fox News Channel reject the crude and irresponsible attempts to suggest otherwise.
Not all of you.
Right, no. I could not be more proud of Megyn for her professionalism and class in the face of all of Mr. Trump's verbal assaults. Her questioning of Mr. Trump at the debate was tough but fair, and I fully support her as she continues to ask the probing and challenging questions that all presidential candidates may find difficult to answer. Donald Trump rarely apologizes, although in this case he should. We have never been deterred by politicians or anything else attacking us for doing our job. Or anyone else attacking us for doing our job, much less allowed ourselves to be bullied by anyone, and we're certainly not going to start now. All of our journalists will continue to report in the fair and balanced way that has made Fox News Channel the number one news network in the industry.
What a douche.
So
you know what? I can't help but wonder, though, I would hope that this happened, that Megyn Kelly basically at the end of her show marched into fucking Ailes' office or called him on the phone and was like, look, f***ing sit on him.
Right. I think they're just going to play it up for the ratings.
You could be right.
And and that's what they've, at least that's what they've done so far. So you wrote about this in the Daily Banter today. Who was it who was talking about this idiot Trump fan talking about, oh, it was in a Frank Luntz focus
woman
group.
Yeah, the woman in Frank Luntz's focus group.
Yeah. What happened there?
Time Magazine wrote about it. Oh my God. It's the end. It's the fucking idiocracy.
Yeah.
It is. It's just, we're just done. Yeah, I read this and it's like you can't even begin to process it. So apparently Frank Luntz last night, Luntz is another guy, by the way, who Trump has called, you know, a slob and a loser and all that other shit because he had the nerve to assemble a panel that didn't like Trump during the debate. But he assembled this panel of like 29 people to talk about Donald Trump. And they were like, what he found apparently made his legs shake. That was the quote. I love that.
Oh, my God.
Which is just creepy as hell, imagining this, you know, this man-child, this, you know, Down syndrome man-child that Frank Luntz is, with his legs shaking because he's just so scared or weirded out or whatever. But either way, he assembles these people, and they're pretty much all of them are – you know, are just, you know, Trump says what we feel and we love Trump and they're just completely committed to him. But he gets this one woman, and the quote from her is sincerely, it's the quote of the election cycle. It is the quote that sums up Donald Trump's fans. It's the quote that sums up where we are as a nation. He talks to one woman who's in this focus group and she says, quote, we know his goal is to make America great again. It's on his hat.
Oh, my God.
We see it every time he's on TV. We know his goal is to make America great again because it's on his hat.
God damn.
And we know that we want to vote for Donald Trump for president because every time he speaks to us, there's a podium in front of him that says Donald Trump for president. A friend of mine had the best comment. He's like, thank God he's not wearing a hat that says John Deere on it, because otherwise she'd think he's a tractor.
Well, that's right. You know, the word president is on the podium, as you said. So therefore, he's the president.
He's presidential material. It even says so on his podium. God damn it, people are stupid.
It's on the hat.
It's on his hat. Like I said in the piece that I wrote, from now on, whenever any – because I've been – you know me, and I've explained it. Lately, I've really, really been in trouble in terms of writing. Yeah. And I can't describe to you what it feels like. It's not just writer's block. This is something different. Mm-hmm. This is looking at words and seeing them as a jumble. And you know, I'll start writing stuff, and I'll go back, and I'll have misspelled like four different things. And I look at things and they're confusing to me, and I'm frustrated. I don't want to make an argument. I don't want to bother writing. I don't want to bother doing any of it. And I can't put into words why that is. Mm-hmm. Why I've just kind of like, I read the news, I wake up in the morning and I look on Facebook and I'm ready to quit after 2 seconds. And I was looking for a way to describe it, and I swear to God, I wrote at the end of this piece, I said, from now on, whenever somebody asks me why I've checked out completely, my answer is going to be, it's on his hat.
I mean, these are people – they're talking about on Stephanie Miller this morning that it's like that scene from American President. People are thirsty for leadership, and they'll drink the sand. And what they're doing with Trump is they're drinking the sand. They're just – they don't – They'll take whatever they can get to quench their thirst, even if it means drinking the sand. And it's because they don't, and the way it gets explained in Aaron Sorkin's screenplay is they don't know any better. That's why they're drinking. And in the case of Donald Trump, they don't effing know any better. It's like the classic underpants gnome gambit. They think that if number one, they vote for Trump, number two, question mark, question mark, question mark, number three, billionaire, they're suddenly wealthy. Profit.
Yeah, exactly.
They actually believe this, that if they elect Donald Trump, it's going to be immediate prosperity for everybody.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And it's not. Because, you know why? Because he's completely incompetent. He has no business whatsoever tinkering with the American economy.
Here's the thing that bothers me most, the thing that really eats me up, is I'm baffled at how people don't realize that he doesn't care about them.
Yeah.
Donald Trump doesn't care one bit about America. He doesn't care one bit about this country. He doesn't care one bit about you, me, or anybody else. Any of these people latching onto him doesn't give a fuck about him.
No.
All Donald Trump cares about is himself. That's why he's doing this. He's not doing this to make America great again. He's doing this because he wants to do it, because he's a child and he wants – imagine what it would be like if I were president.
That's exactly right. He's doing it because he thinks he can, and he thinks it's somehow going to enrich his Q score.
He's a complete narcissist.
I just sneezed. Yeah, he is. And that's really understating how he feels about himself.
Yeah.
He wants to be famous. He's famous for being famous. Yeah. And that's why people support him.
Today he was talking to Howard Stern. He called into Howard Stern.
Right.
And Howard Stern made a joke to him. He's like, well, you know what? If you win the presidency, can I become a Supreme Court justice?
Yeah.
And Trump's response was, well, you know, you're a very smart guy. And as funny as that normally would be, as much as you'd normally be able to go, it's okay. For some reason, it made me want to punch a fucking wall.
Yeah, because you know he's half serious.
All I can think of is I could see that. Yeah. I could see Trump nominating another reality star, another, you know, a radio DJ.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan Seacrest is going to be a Secretary of Labor.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we're willing to put someone like Donald Trump in the presidency, that's it. All bets are off.
Right.
This entire country is a joke.
Meatloaf, should I appoint Howard Stern as a Supreme Court justice?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, Meatloaf will become the Secretary of Defense.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Meatloaf, everyone's saying I should appoint Howard Stern as Supreme Court Justice. Do you think I should appoint Howard Stern as Supreme Court Justice?
Absolutely.
I've just stopped doing the impression whatsoever. It's just like... Because that's a, you literally, that's what's next, by the way. Donald Trump getting up in front of a microphone to do a speech and just going, and everyone goes, yay, yay, Trump. He's just like me. He speaks in gibberish. I'm telling you, it's only a matter of time before Trump delivers the gibberish speech. As if his speeches aren't already, like, improvised gibberish. At least there are sentences in there. So, by the way, if you don't want to hear about Trump, I don't know what to tell you. Because Trump, well, you know, he's kind of important right now. He's going to be the Republican nominee. And if he's not, he's going to run as an independent. And he's still going to be a factor in all of this.
Right.
Then again, take that with a grain of salt, because we predicted that he wouldn't actually run, just like every other time. Sure. But this time he actually defied expectations and ran. So I'm kind of going on that as the precedent, that he's, we thought he wasn't going to run, he ran. We thought he wasn't going to win, he's winning. So, you know, do the math. All right, we've got a post-mortem show coming up for you. Going to talk about some Ted Cruz. This horrible, horrible white neighborhood in St. Louis harassing this interracial couple. Plus, we're going to answer the question, is there poop in your beef? There was an actual story about that. Okay. That's coming up on the Postmortem Show. If you want to get the Postmortem Show, here's what you do. Go to bobsesca.com. Just under the logo, you'll see a link that says Patreon. It's in big capital letters. You can't miss it. Click on that link. It'll take you to Patreon. And then all you do is you sign up for a certain dollar amount every month. You don't have to do it every month. You just do it once, but it gets automatically withdrawn every month. At the $5 level, $5 a month, that's basically a dollar per show. Oh, it's actually less than a dollar per show because we do two shows a week now. So you get the post-mortem show. $10, you get the after party. $15, you get the commercial-free, not-safe-for-work version of this show. Go and sign up now. We'll see you on Thursday. Bye-bye, folks.